me, I feel like, as far as it outlined, I understood, I seem to have a pretty good grasp. But for several weeks, I kept rereading and rereading verse number 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Now, I will tell you this, I am not beyond just shamelessly skipping portions of Scripture. I would much rather just skip a portion of Scripture that I don't have a full grasp on than try to bluff my way through it. Now, 10 years ago, I would have bluffed, all right? But I found out this, folks. Do you know what? I don't know is not a bad answer. Are y'all listening to me? If somebody asks you a question you don't know, just say, I don't know. You know, because in your attempt to try to convince them that you do know, they will soon find out and know anyway that you do not know. And I really mean that. I think sometimes we give counsel when we really even had time to think about it and pray about it. And if you don't know an answer, don't bluff. Just say, you know what, I don't know. That's a good question. I'll tell you what. Pray about that, study on that, and maybe I can find out. And if I do, I'll give you an answer. But I think that's all right. It's okay to read parts of the Bible and say, I just don't understand that. Well, I hope it is, because I don't think anybody in here has a full grasp on all of it. And so I was debating even whether to go back. So I'm going to go through a little exercise with you, and I'm going to show you the way that I worked on these verses to help me to understand a little bit about what these verses were saying. And then I'm going to go into them as deeply as I feel like I can. And but I think that this is well worth our time, because this is really very fascinating. I think my trouble was in the application. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to teach what I believe that the verses mean, and then I'm going to let the Holy Spirit help you to draw personal application in your life. Now, I might help you here and there, but I think that this is well worth our time to look at, okay? And so the motivation for ministry. Now, Paul, because of his bonds, as we discussed, and we talked about understanding the whys, why things happen last week. One of the reasons that God sometimes allows things to happen is to embolden the brethren. We talked about that. We talked about that the furtherance of the gospel, number one. Number two, verse 14, to embolden the brethren. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And so Paul says this is one of the byproducts of me being in bonds. One of the good things that God's doing with my bonds is that it's causing some men to step up and to be bold and to be willing to preach and be willing to take a stand that wasn't doing it before. Then he takes verse number 15, 16, 17, and 18, and he takes a little break here, and he discusses these that have stepped forward and have begun to speak the word of God, because they are divided then into basically two groups. Now, I will say this, and I don't know, because I don't know who Paul was talking about. I don't know that he had, I'm sure, men in mind when he wrote this, but the Holy Spirit didn't give us that. But I really, can I just say this? I really believe, now, let me separate two things here. He's talking about people that are truly preaching the accurate, right gospel of Jesus Christ. He's not talking about, when he says down here in verse number 18 and concludes and says, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in preaching or in truth, Christ is preaching, I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He wouldn't have said that had he was comparing somebody that was preaching the correct gospel and a false gospel. He wouldn't have said that. So both of these groups of preachers were preaching the gospel. And so it's not a matter of somebody preaching the gospel and somebody not preaching the gospel, of somebody preaching accurate doctrine and somebody preaching heresy. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about overall these men's messages are sound. So what he begins to discuss, though, in these verses is the motivation or the motives behind their ministering or their preaching. And let me say this. I think we have to be very careful. This type of a lesson is not to benefit us in examining other people's motives. Boy, I hope you heard that. I hope you heard that. It just went right by some. You missed it. Let me say it again, all right? I hope that, and I hope you understand, that these verses are not to help us, or exclusively at least, to help us to diagnose the motive of other individuals. Matter of fact, I think that that's very, very difficult to do. I think it's very difficult to do. I think, though, with the Holy Spirit's help, it is very easy, if we will, And if we do it properly and do it rightfully, with the Holy Spirit's help, it's very easy for us, if we'll be sensitive to what God's trying to speak to us about in looking at our motives for wanting to minister. Now, we're talking about those that preach the gospel, but let me just say here tonight, you can have a right motive for wanting to be a bus captain and a wrong motive for wanting to be a bus captain. You can have a right motive for teaching your Sunday school class and a wrong motive. By the way, you may be teaching the exact same thing that the person next to you is teaching, but you could be doing it with a faulty motive, okay? You can have a right motive for preaching in a nursing home. You can have a wrong motive for preaching in a nursing home. By the way, even with the wrong motive, if you're preaching Christ, you know what? It's amazing. Let me tell you something about the grace of God. It's amazing. God wants to see people saved so badly that He'll take a bunch of imperfect people that a lot of times will even minister and preach with imperfect motives, and none of us have the right motive all the time. Don't sit there and look like, no, all of us at times have tainted motives for things that we do. Yeah, now you just shake your head. Yes, that's me. This isn't about him or her or my husband or no. This is for us to look at ourselves, you see. And every one of us, there's not a one of us going to sit there in front of the judgment seat of Christ and say, Lord, all of my service was for pure motive. And look at that. There's the fire. Whoomph, not a thing burned. Every single bit of it is gold and silver and precious jewels. Woo! I hope y'all are learning something here. I'm here, you know. And so, I guarantee you, every one of us is going to see more than our share of our works burn up at the judgment seat of Christ because a lot of times of the thing I'm talking about tonight. But I think it's important that we do some self-examination. Now, what I did was I took a piece of paper and I just took it out and I drew a line down the center and put a kind of a cross at the top. And then I wrote motivation for ministry. I'm looking at it right here, so I got motivation for ministry. Then I put on the left-hand side of the paper, I put the word right, and on the left-hand side, I put the word wrong. Now, let me just show you so you can visually see this. We'll read down through here, and you can help me a little bit. And then I'm going to need some of you men, young men, to help me. I'm going to need quite a few, so y'all just be ready, okay? And first of all, let's read this, okay? It says in verse number 15, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. Now, I wrote those two words on the side of wrong motive, okay? Neither one of them seemed like a good motive. So Keith, if you'll come up here, and Matthew, if you'll come up here. And I'm going to put you guys over here on this side. And just stand over there and hold these things so that they can see it like this. All right, and all the way over to the edge. There you go, okay? All right, good men. All right, and so those are the first two things, and I wrote those on the side underneath wrong because I think that those are wrong motives, okay? Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. And Chad, maybe I can have you come over here, and we'll put you on this side because this is going to be the right and the right motives, and this is going to be the wrong motives. By the way, just seeing this is going to help you tremendously. If you're a Sunday school teacher, I want you to consider that no matter what you do for the Lord, I want you to consider what you're looking at because I think that is the right thing to do, the proper thing to do, okay? And then it says in verse number 16, and one preach Christ of contention. So, Nathan, can I have you come on up here? One preach Christ of contention. Let's see, I lost my place. And you're going to be over here. And then Isaac, if you'll come up here, not sincerely, lacks sincerity. By the way, it even gets worse than that. Michael? I didn't mean it that way. Brother, that wasn't me. That was them. I think that they've got evil motives out here, you know. So, all right. One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Can I just tell you this, folks? It's a lot easier. Once you start having wrong motives, they tend to multiply. I mean, they really do. What you're going to find out is one side of the paper is fuller than the other side of the paper. You know, there's a lot more wrong reasons to do the right thing than right reasons. And to be honest with you, we're probably more susceptible to doing the right thing. When we finally get straightened out where we start doing the right thing, sometimes we do it for the wrong motive, okay? And so this maybe help us, all right? One preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love. So Levi, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Okay, so you stand over there. Then he asks this question, what then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense, all right, so let's see, would you help me? Come on up here. I've gone blank on his name. What's your name?
Justin,
that's right. You're going to be over here by ad affliction. I didn't really know it was going to work out. See, these guys can't even stay straight. You know, all right, come on up here and let's get a straight line. All right, very good. They're doing a good job. All right. And then it says, let me see, Ryan, would you help me? Come on over here. And it says, all right, let me read this again. I'm going to have to get my glasses out. All right. What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, and yea, will rejoice. I'm not going to have him stay up here the whole time, so I want you to get a good look at this, okay? Here are, I think, just a wonderful little lesson right here. This is where you need to keep your motives for ministry. Now, I'm going to explain what each of these mean. I think most of them are very self-explanatory. But this is good motive. This is someone who's preaching Christ for the right reason. This is somebody that's in the nursing home for the right reason. This is someone that has a desire to preach for the right reason, that has a desire to soul win for the right reason, desire to be a bus cap for the right reason. This is good motive, right motive for service, okay? And so you need to look at these things and remember those when we be talking about it. Now this, believe it or not, Brother Jerry, these are pretty horrible things here, yes? And these pretty horrible lists here, envy, strife, contention, not sincerely, adding affliction, pretense, it's not just the characteristic traits of people who do not serve God. These can be the characteristic traits or the motives behind good service as far as what they're doing is good, but why they're doing it is wrong. So you got that? He said there's some out there that use these motives, and there's some out there that use these motives. And then he says some, because of envy and strife, preach Christ. Some of contention, some not sincerely. Some even to add affliction, he said, to my bonds, which was a direct attack against some. Well, you know what it was? It was a direct attack against the guy over here. That's what it was. And then he said, some in pretense. And I'll explain what those things mean real quickly, all right? And then he said, others. He said, you know what? And by the way, I'll just tell you what I believe. When it comes to people in the ministry, whether it's full-time, and especially full-time, let me just stop there. People that are full-time in the ministry, I will tell you this, in my dealings, the best that I'm able to judge, I have met a heap more people that do it for these reasons than do it for these reasons over here. Would you agree with that, Dad? Okay, and I really got to thinking about that. I think that all of us, even the ones over here, can sometimes get over here and get some of this involved in what we're doing, and then usually the Holy Spirit convicts us. The good thing about being in the ministry, especially preaching, is that you got to spend a lot of time in the Bible if you're going to preach. At least that's the theory, that you're supposed to spend a lot of time in the Bible if you're going to preach. One of the things good about spending a lot of time in the Bible is it gives the Holy Spirit ample opportunity to deal with issues as they arise in your life, because you'd be surprised how quickly you can start doing the right thing for the wrong reason, okay? And so that's good. Now, I believe this also. In my dealings with the local church, in my dealings with lay leadership, in my dealings with people that are involved in serving in capacities of the church, I believe that people do it for these reasons far outweigh people that do it for these reasons. I really believe that. Because I think sooner or later they are eliminated if they do it for the wrong reasons. Especially people that stick in there long term. You're probably not going to long term do much of anything for God if you have faulty motives. Sooner or later you're going to crash and burn. There's going to be some problems. So what God will do is he doesn't want you to stop serving him. Well, I'm not going to serve God because I'm not doing it for the right reasons. No, that's too easy. Excuse me, that's a cop-out. Give me a break. Yeah, that's the answer. I mean, don't change the motives, just quit. Well, I don't have the right motives, so it's better that I don't do anything. That's baloney. That's wicked. That's wrong. No, you serve the Lord, but you fix the motives, okay? Now, what I'm going to do is have all of you hold on to those. Go ahead and be seated, and I'm going to call you back up towards the end, okay, so we can take a look at it again. So just hold on to your cards, and thank you, gentlemen, very much. Now, let me walk through these things real quickly, okay? Let me first of all tackle the right motives versus the wrong motives verse by verse, because I think that they're matched together for a reason. All right, let's look first of all at verse number 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. So notice that these two are laid side by side. The envy and strife is contrasting the goodwill. Now, the goodwill, let me just say this. If you want to do a little word study on these, I think you'll enjoy that and you'll find it enjoyable. I've certainly done that. But let me give you the definition for goodwill. And by the way, that's a Greek word. That's a one-word Greek word that's translated into these two words, goodwill, but it's one single word, okay? It means this, satisfaction or delight or kindness or good pleasure. Satisfaction, delight, kindness, or good pleasure. Okay? The right motive for ministry, and you usually can tell somebody who has the right motive for ministry because you'll notice that they just delight in the opportunity to serve God. They delight in the privilege to preach. I mean, they enjoy preaching. I mean, it's kind of like to me, the ministry is, not, oh my, I got to preach this Sunday. It's the ministry to me is I come up here and I say, I get to preach. I can't believe this. I mean, I can't believe I get to preach. And I get to preach again this Sunday. And I get to preach, prepare Sunday school. There's a delight in the opportunity. The word satisfaction, they derive wondrous satisfaction in the experience of service. They preach because of this. Their preaching comes from a heart of kindness and good pleasure. There's not a burden that comes with it. There's not a drudgery to it. There's a sense of goodwill. And let me just put it this way. They're amazed that they are allowed to do it. They're amazed that they're allowed to do it. Now, that then is contrasted by somebody that has as their motives envy and strife. Now, watch this. This man over here is amazed that he's allowed to do this job for the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I'm just, praise God, they let me be a Sunday school teacher. I'm amazed. They let me do it. They let me be a bus captain. They let me work on a bus route. They're letting me go soul winning on Saturday. They're letting me help in the Master's Club. And there's just kind of this fresh, wondrousness to it that they're just allowed to serve God. Now, this person over here, be careful, folks, because that old green-eyed monster of jealousy will rise up and infect us faster than anything else. Then we have somebody over here that contrasts that is angry because they are not allowed. They see somebody else that gets something, and they really down deep believe it should have went to them. That's not fair. I am more worthy than they are. I'm more deserving than they are. When this one, by the way, that word, goodwill, envy there, if you look that word up, it has beside it this word, ill will. Ill will. You know why? Because, folks, things that are motivated are done out of jealousy. Then you'll find these words, ruins, spoils, wastes, and corrupts. And you know what? What happens is, if you don't have the right motive, next thing you know, it begins to affect not only what you're doing, but even what you are. And so this person wants to preach out of a sense of jealousy. Okay, well, God's using them and that. I don't understand that. I mean, I'm smarter than either one of those two. I've been saved longer. I know the Bible more. Why would God use somebody like that and not use me? Why would they have an opportunity and I don't get the opportunity? That's not fair. I'm more qualified. Now listen, folks, that's wrong motive for ministry. You see, envy. So because of this, here's the problem. It begins to ruin what they are allowed to do because they're doing it for the wrong motive. When they get an opportunity, they can't even enjoy the opportunity because they think they should have had more of an opportunity. Hey, folks, if I get to do anything for God, if I get to clean a toilet for God, that's a blessing. I mean this. If I get to vacuum the carpet, that's a blessing. If God lets me go out and sweep a bus, that's a blessing. Good night. I get to serve God. Woo! Are you kidding me? I get to have a little part in the ministry here. I get to do something for God. Now, don't you lose that wonderment. Don't lose that wonderment. When I went to Bible college, in my first 2 years I spent in a fisherman's club in a soul winning program. Then I joined the bus ministry. I joined Johnny Esposito's bus route. I'm going to tell you that. What I'm going to tell you is absolutely, I mean, hand on my Bible. This is from my heart. This is the way I felt every single time. This is the process exactly as it went. I became a bus worker on Johnny Esposito's bus route. I got to work on his bus route for 6 months as a bus worker. I'll tell you what, I loved every single minute of it. I loved being a bus worker. I loved learning. Johnny Esposito was one of the most amazing workers with children that I've ever seen to this day in my life. Just absolutely. I watched him. He could get on a bus, and he'd take them a wild bunch of we were in Joliet, Illinois, actually, on that bus route. But those wild bunch of kids, and man, he'd have them up here excited, and he'd bring them down death quiet. And man, he'd have them doing this and doing that. And man, he just seemed like they could eat out of his hand. And I watched all of his techniques, watched how he done it. I learned so much, began to learn how to do the program. Just about the time I got comfortable, I got to know with the kids. I loved where I was at. He gave me a section of the bus route that I got to visit by my... You hear that? He gave me a section of his bus route. Two or three streets that I was responsible for. And God began to bless, allow me to start bringing visitors out. And I was happy as I could be. And then somebody went and ruined it. Brother Johnny said to me, "Hey, I got to talk to you, Jerry." I said, "What's going on?" He said, "Brother Ray wants you to be a bus captain." I said, "What? He wants you to be a bus captain?" I said, "No way." He said, "You don't understand. Brother Ray Young, the bus director, he wants you to be a bus captain." And I said, "Brother Johnny, I don't want to be a bus captain." I said, "I didn't join the bus ministry to be a bus captain. I joined the bus ministry because I wanted to help you. I'm having a great time." I said, "Why don't you just go tell him no?" He said, "Why don't you go tell him no?" I said, "Well, that's what I'm going to do." I went in his office with the intent of telling him no. When I left, I was a bus captain. I really don't, to this day, know what happened. But you say, "Weren't you excited?" You know what? I was at first very frustrated. I really enjoyed doing what I was doing. But after Brother Ray explained to me why he needed me and what the reasons were and the need of the route, and this route had gone for almost 6 months without a captain. It had dwindled down to a handful of people. There were two ladies workers trying to keep four or five kids on the bus, and he showed me it on the map. It was like God just can, okay, all right, you know what? I'll do this. But it was, you know what? It was kind of dragged, screaming, and kicking. And then I got over there, and man, all of a sudden I got on that route, and I was a bus captain. And I'll never forget that. I can't believe it. I felt like, there must have been some mistake somewhere, But thank God they made a mistake. I don't know. I kept waiting for every week someone to come in there and say, "Well, we found out who you really are. We're taking your route away from you." Every week I got in there, and I just got to do this. And I got to visit these kids and pick them up. And it was thrilling to me. And almost 6 months. 6 months on that bus route. By the way, that was just a blessing. That was such a unique privilege and opportunity. And I got to see God build my faith and work in that route in so many ways. But literally, we took a route that was just kept going by two lady workers. That at the end of another guy picking up his bus route, he'd swing by. And whatever lady, he'd make one stop. And those ladies would have to run through this route. And whatever kids they could get to that one stop, he'd pick up, and they were bringing six or eight. And literally, within that 6 months period, we had, by the grace of God, we had that route running a steady 70 or 80. I mean, just wonderful things. Just one of the most exciting stretches of ministry that I ever got to enjoy, honestly. Now, folks, understand, 70 or 80 in inner city Chicago is a lot easier than 70 and 80 out in the rural sticks. But I mean, you can't believe the number of people. But God was good. And then all of a sudden, by the way, my division leader that I worked under was Daryl Moore. And Brother Daryl Moore came and said, "Jerry, I need to talk to you." And I said, "Okay." He comes in and he said, "Brother Ray wants you to be a division leader." And I said, "What? He wants me to be a division leader." I said, "What division?" He said, "Division 7. And I looked at him and I said, "Brother Daryl, I don't want to be a division leader." I said, "I didn't want to be a bus captain." I said, "I got to be a bus captain. I'm falling in love with it now." I said, "Man, these kids, most of these kids, I've got to sign up myself." These kids were like, I said, "You've got to be kidding me." And I sat in his office and just wept. I said, "Well, you got to go talk to him." He said, "You go talk to him." Now, what am I saying? I'm saying, let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. I still feel that way today. Somebody says, "Brother Jerry, you're passing out to tracks out there." Some of the tracks in the track rack says, "Pastor Ross and Jerry Ross, assistant pastor." That's because we're trying to keep it quiet for as long as we possibly can, all right? We're just trying to keep it quiet. Some of the buses still say Pastor Robert Ross, yes, and they're going to stay that way until we have to sell them. And I'm trying to, even when I answer the phone, just to keep people thrown off, say, "Yes, this is Jerry Ross, assistant pastor. Can I help you, Some of them are wondering why you've been out of the office for 6 months. They're waiting for you to return some calls, I walk in here, and I walk in here of a morning, and I unlock the doors most of the time, get here before anybody else, and adjust the heat, and walk through this auditorium and kneel up here and look around and say, "God, I can't believe you're letting me do this." Let me tell you something, folks. You ever get to the point where you think that you ought to have what somebody else has? You know what? You've got tainted motives. And you're going to start on a downward spiral spiritually. Because you forgot what a privilege it is to do anything for God. Now don't let your motive be envy. Don't let your motive be jealousy. Because you know what that? You know why that envy and strife's together? Because they're always together in the Bible. They're most always together in the Bible. Envy always leads to strife. You see, strife means being quarrelsome. You know what? You're going to have a hard time following somebody who you think, I'll just tell you, can I just tell you the truth? I never tell you this guy's name, and this guy is a great guy. I promise you the guy I'm going to tell you about, I hate to even bring this up, and I would never tell you who it was, and you wouldn't know him if I did, but I never would do that because this guy was a great guy. Really became one of my heroes, and I learned tons from him. But when I was a bus worker, became a bus captain, then I became a division leader, Division 7. I walked in, and for the first 6 months, there was this one bus captain that just gave me fits. And he didn't like me. He let it known he didn't like me. He wouldn't do what I said. He wouldn't follow me. Finally, I called another couple of bus captains. I said, what's going on? Have I done something to this guy? And he said, no. He said, when the division leader position came open, he thought that he was going to get it. Now, did you hear that? And you know what? Because of that, we had strife. Hey, if they'd have put it to a vote, I would have voted for him to have it. I'd rather stayed where I was, to be honest with you. I got talked into it again. There was a need there. But you know what? That's what you got to be careful of. And you know what? It tainted that man's effectiveness for 6 months. And finally, he came to me one day and he said, Brother Jared, we got to talk. And this is a good man. You know how I can tell you he's such a good man? Because it takes a good man to recognize sometimes when you're having problems. And so he said to me, he said, Brother Jared, we need to talk. And he broke down and wept. He was an older man than me. He was a married guy. He was a single guy. He had 3 or 4 kids. I could understand. He was having trouble. I understand that. But he had some problems there. And we got it right. We prayed together. And this guy, he was fantastic. He really was. I learned a lot from him. But what I'm saying is, you got to be careful. You see, here on this side, we have goodwill. And here on this side, we have envy, which always leads to strife. That's verse number 15. So check out your motive of service. Some preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Always stay amazed that you're allowed. Don't ever become angry because you're not. Whatever God has allowed you to do, just every day walk, just look at it wide-eyed like some little child in wonderment that God would even let you do anything. And don't get this looking up the ladder, and boy, I ought to have that, and I can't believe I don't have that, and they should have given me this, and I can't believe I'm not that. Listen, that's going to taint everything that you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. It will. It will absolutely taint everything you do till you get it straightened out. Motivation for ministry, the motivation for service. Now, let's look at verse number 16, okay? And one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love. Now we have this. We have three offsetting one. Well, my goodness sakes, love would cure every single one of these other three, so I can understand that. The proper motivation for service on this side was love, affection, benevolence, agape. It's the right motive. It's the proper motive. It's the motivation that caused God the Father to send His Son Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the whole world. You see, love, a love for God and a love for people is the proper motivation behind being able and willing to preach the gospel. If you're not driven by love, you need to get out of the pulpit. I mean, you really do. If a pastor gets to the point where he's not driven by love for God and a love for the people, then you know what? Well, I shouldn't have said that because he doesn't need to get out of the pulpit. He needs to get his motivations fixed. He really needs to get his motivation fixed. Because what happens? What happens is you begin to no longer do it because of your love for God, your love for the Scriptures, your love for people, but instead you begin to preach Christ in a contentious fashion. And you never, I don't know, I want to be careful here, but you know, I understand every time, preachers have to get up sometime, just pitch a fit, I understand that. But if somebody, every time I hear them preach, they're just mad, you know, what's wrong with you, you know? I mean, are you listening to me? One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Now, contention means this. Now, watch this, folks. Be careful, watch this, because this is a progression. Goodwill, an amazement that you are allowed to do it, a delight in the opportunity, will cause you to begin to preach for the right reason, and that's the motivation of loving God and loving people and just wanting to be a help. Now, if you begin to get into the ministry or ministries or service in the local church because of envy, it'll lead to strife. Not amazement that you're allowed to do something, but angry because you thought you should have been and that other person got it, or I can't believe this, or whatever. You begin to see somebody that has something that you don't have, and you begin to be envious and jealous of that. And then that begins to work ruin and spoil and waste and corruption in your effectiveness. And then it leads to strife, which is being quarrelsome and argumentative. And next thing you know, you're just not getting along with anybody. And then comes this. Watch this. It affects it so that you can't then have the second motivation of love, agape love. Instead, you begin to get involved in contention. Now, let me share this, because isn't this interesting? Envy leads to strife. Strife leads to contention. What's contention? If you look up that Greek word, you'll find these explanations. Creating factions. Creating factions. Okay? Let's see here. Divisive. Causing division. Wanting their own following. Wanting their own following. Now, be very careful here, folks. A man that has the right motive for ministry is amazed that he's allowed to do it, does it because his love for God and love for the people and his benevolence, his honest desire to help people. Someone who's starting and getting in the ministry, no matter whether it's a pulpit ministry or a pastor or whether it's just service in a church somewhere, and they get affected by envy, then that leads to strife, and strife causes contention. And next thing you know, because they don't have the position that they think they ought to have, they want to start trying to carve out their own following so that they can have what God hasn't allowed them to have. Now, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, look right up here and look right in your eyeballs of your preacher and listen to me very carefully, okay? There may be somebody in here that thinks that you should pastor this church and not me. Come talk to me afterwards. I'll be able to talk you out of that, okay? All right. Be very careful. You start looking at a position somebody else has. There may be somebody here that says, you know what? I should be teaching the junior high and or the high school girls. I'm better qualified than that person is. You better look right up here and listen to me. Okay? I think I should work with the youth. I can't believe he chose Brother Reiser to work with the youth and oversee the youth. Good night. He's only in his 20s. I forgot more than he knows. I can't believe they didn't pick me and my wife. You better look right up here and listen to me. Because if you don't get that envy and jealousy fixed, it's going to start leading to strife. And then you know what? Next thing you know, the devil will be using you to cause contention. Because you'll go to that group that you thought that you should be leading and you're not, and you'll try to carve out a fellowship out of that group. Okay? And next thing you know, there's factions going on. I'm going to tell you something. Boy, if you want to get your life changed, you listen to Brother Larry Brown preach Blowing the Whistle on the Wolves. If you haven't ever heard that message, every Christian ought to hear that message probably once a year. Honestly, you better be careful. Because you know what? You know who causes church splits? Not bad people, good people. Serving people. Busy people. Bible reading people. Praying people. But you know what begins to happen? They start getting infected by envy. They start getting infected by jealousy. They lose their motive for service, which is supposed to be love and goodwill and amazement, a wonderment that they're allowed. And all of a sudden, they are deserving of something, and they didn't get something. So they start strife, and then they start going to other people and start saying, you know what, if I was doing that, you know, if I had that position, you know, he's a good man, but you know, the one part that bothers me, let me just have you all look up here a minute. Let me just say this. Brother Jerry, are you trying to fix something? I'm trying to prevent something. I'm trying to prevent something. Listen to me. Okay, if you're not the pastor and on the or not on the pastoral staff, okay, and I haven't asked you and assigned you to do this, I don't need you to go around and visit other members of the church. Oh, I can't believe he said that. Now, see, you're going to use that because it's just what you're looking for. You'll be on the phone with someone before the night's over. Can you believe that? Here I am going around trying to be a blessing to other people. Now, what do you mean by that, Brother Jerry? Well, you know what? Why are you going around visiting all the other members of the church? Why are you doing that? Are you trying to shepherd them? Are you listening to me? You better be careful. Well, I'm just trying to be a blessing. Well, last time I know, in the circle we drew, there's 33,000 people. Most of them haven't been reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. How come you can't spend all your time going after them? Okay, and by the way, you better examine. Folks, listen to me. members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you better use some discretion. Somebody wants to come see you all the time or stop you on and talk to you all the time, and next thing you know, the conversation's gone south. And they're starting to point out they don't like this, or, you know, I don't know about this, or this is suspect, or, you know, well, I tell you what, I appreciate our pastor, but. Appreciate our youth pastor, but. Appreciate our assistant pastor, but. Well, I'm talking, so-and-so's doing a pretty good job in that Christian Learning Center, a school teacher, but. You know, let me tell you what you're doing. Now, folks, you may not even realize why you're doing what you're doing. I'm trying to be a blessing and help to you. But what you're doing is you're causing contention. You're trying to carve out a following. Okay? And be careful about that. Let me tell you how you know these guys. Sooner or later, once they get their little following, they'll come to the preacher one day, or they'll come to an assistant pastor. And they'll say, well, I didn't really want to say this, or I didn't really want to say anything. But some of the people have been coming to me. You watch it when somebody starts with that sentence. Some of the people's been coming to me, and, well, who are they? Well, you know, I don't feel like I have really ought to probably divulge that. They came to me anonymously. And listen to me. You know what that buzzard's doing? You know what that bird's doing? He's sitting there in front of his preacher, sitting there with this little group that he's now become the representative of, and they have to come to him. They have to come to him, you know. And, well, Pastor Jerry's just so busy. And so I was trying to be a blessing and a help. And some of them even came to me and said, you know, Pastor Jerry's so busy. We don't want to bother him. So we thought we'd ask you. Are you listening to me? And so what I'm saying, folks, is good people end up in bad situations. Good people, if you're not careful, end up causing contentions. Hey, let me make announcements. Pastor Jerry's not so busy that I can't answer your question or get to you in due time. All right? Okay. Well, I just don't want to bother him. Well, I think that's my job. I'm the pastor. If you have a need, come see me. If you got a request, come see me. If you don't come see me, I don't know, do I? All right. Okay, then don't ask somebody on the pastoral staff to do pastoral work. Are you listening to me? Okay, are you listening to me? If I wasn't on the pastoral staff, I would refer them to the pastors. Does that make sense? Okay, what I'm saying is be very careful here, folks. Because next thing you know, we want our little following. You say, we start to have a group here and a group there and a group there. And then that's how the devil gets his foot in the door. And it comes from wrong motive of service, you see. Then along with that, contention says this. It says, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. What's that mean? All of a sudden, their service is tainted. Folks, watch this. Their motives are impure. They lack honesty, sincerity, purity in their motives. It becomes tainted because it's not about helping people and it's not about serving God. Although you may say it till you're blue in the face. It's about, at this point, getting a following for yourself. Okay? And Paul, by the way, I'm going to show you something amazing when we get down to the scriptures here. You know, but by the way, these people are still teaching a Sunday school class and they're still sharing the gospel. They're still going soul winning and they're still sharing the gospel. They may still be working in a certain ministry and even preaching, but they're sharing the gospel. And you know what Paul says? You got to admire Paul. You got to admire Paul. When he gets down to the bottom of this, he said, hey, you know what? Praise the Lord. At least they're preaching the gospel. But the Holy Spirit allowed Paul to pen these distinctions of faulty motivation behind service. And folks, it's a downward spiral, you see. Contention then all of a sudden leads to a lack of sincerity because you can't be sincere and honest and pure if you're doing it for the wrong reason. And then what happens is even your service, watch this, begins to add affliction to the one who's truly called to do what you're trying to get a niche in. Are you listening to me? All of a sudden, Paul said this, but others... I'm sorry, one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add afflictions to my bond. And watch this. All of a sudden, you become a burdensome to your pastor. Well, I can't believe you said that. I do this and I do that and I won this person, I won that person, I do this and I do that. That's fine, but if your motive stinks, guess what? Next thing you know, you're causing more problems than you're... Well, I can't believe you're saying that. I'll just leave then. Well, that's mature. You know, it's always easy to quit than it is just to get right. Be very careful about your motives, folks, because this is a downward spiral. Then the last comparison then is found in verse number 18. What then, notwithstanding, everywhere, way, whether in pretense, and by the way, envy leads to strife, strife leads to contention, contention causes a lack of sincerity, a lack of sincerity causes you to become someone who begins to add affliction, and then all of a sudden all of your service begins to become a pretense. And what does that word pretense mean? It means an outward showing, a cloak, a show, a pretext. What that means is all of a sudden it's all for show, nothing inside is real, nothing inside is genuine, nothing truly, truly, truly is being completed for the proper reasons. Even if God is still blessing some of what you're doing, you're losing rewards for it. Okay? So this is very important. Now notice this. Goodwill, though, this amazement that I'm allowed to do it, a delight in the opportunity. Gee, I get to do what? Well, thank you. Good night. I think there's many people more deserving. I can't believe I'm... But God, thank you for this opportunity. You know what that does? It drives you to your knees. Oh, God, just help me to be able to do this, you know. And then next thing you know, you get caught up in a love for helping people and a love for God and benevolence. And then you know what? All of that helps you then to do the thing in truth. Because it says, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And one of these things is happening from a proper perspective with proper motivation. And another ministry is being conducted. By the way, you'd be surprised how many churches have been almost birthed and grown as with the driving force behind that church, a hatred or a jealousy or an envy of some other ministry. I'm going to tell you right now, I am worrisome. By the way, we're to properly contend for the faith. And I will preach against heretics and I will preach against people. I mean, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about other good men that are serving Christ and preaching the gospel, and we don't like something, or they got a position we don't think, or they're being more blessed at a certain time than we think, and next thing you know, the driving force no longer becomes to love people and love God, and man, isn't this awesome, and you know what, just give the truth and let God give the increase. It's I'm going to beat them, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to get up, and you know, if you go to a church and half the messages is against the guy down the street who's preaching the same gospel, you got to start saying to yourself, what's my motivation here? What's my motive? Hey, bus captain, if your motivation for filling that bus up is to beat some other bus captain, what's your... Hello? I mean, come on. Sunday school teacher, if your motivation for being the best teacher you can is because to show up the person that's in the room next, what? What's going on? You see? So be very careful, because goodwill leads to love, which leads to truth. Envy and strife creates contention, affects your sincerity, begins to make you cause you to add affliction to God-given leadership, and eventually you'll become a pretense. And you can sit there and go through all the motions and say all the right things and have all the cliches and shake the hands and have the smile and talk about doing this for God and that for God. But you know what? If the driving force behind all that is envy and strife and contention and a lack of sincerity, and then if you're not careful, you're starting to add affliction, it's a pretense. It's a pretense. It's a pretense. Now, you know what Paul said at the end here, and I'm going to wrap this up right now. He said this, what then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, and yea, and will rejoice. He said, listen, a lot of these guys are doing it for the wrong reason. They're doing it as a direct attack on me. But let me tell you something. They're preaching Christ. And you know what? If my bonds have emboldened them to step up and preach harder because they want to point out to everybody that, see, I'm finally getting what I get, but they preach Christ in the meantime, all right, fine. Christ is being preached, maybe someone will get saved. But I think if you ask Paul, if we could go to heaven right now, and we could say, Paul, he said, you know what? These are the men that's going to make the long-term difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that kind of motivation, folks, will only drive it's only going to drive the car so far. It's only going to power the machine for a certain amount of time. But this kind of right motivation will keep you in the ministry, and it'll keep you right, and it'll keep you in your Sunday school class, and it'll keep you in a right spirit between your brothers and sisters in Christ. So be very careful. Are you listening to me, church? Are you listening to me, church? It's right here in the Scriptures. I could have jumped over it, studied it hard, asked the Lord to show me some things, and He did. Now watch how, not just whether or not you're being used, but how you're being used and the motive behind your service. Watch out for your motive. You start getting off track on motive, God will just kind of take you and say, okay, here you go. You stand over there. You sit over there. You need to get some things straightened out. You see. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this time of teaching through the Word of God, Lord. And God, I pray that you'd just apply it as needed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me have the